What's up, world?
Yeah, what's up?
Not much. Chilling after a busy couple of weeks. A lot of Gold Cup to get to quickly. So, yeah, let's kick it off.
I mean, we can just talk about the games. This is a bonus episode. So, this is not an official episode, y'all. Where is that? The quarterfinals happened. The Women's Gold Cup situation.
Yes, this past Saturday and Sunday. Four games were played, two on Saturday, two on Sunday for the Gold Cup quarterfinals to determine the final four in San Diego. The first game was Canada versus Costa Rica, and the second game on Saturday was Paraguay, Mexico. Nope, that's wrong. The second game was Brazil and Argentina. And then on Sunday, the first game was Mexico-Paraguay, and the last game of the weekend was the United States versus Colombia. I can give you the rundown. First match went to extra time. It was the only match of the four that did between Canada and Costa Rica, and Canada won in extra time with a goal by Evelyn Viennes, 1-0. Any thoughts on this one?
It was... Costa Rica fought really hard. They played way better than they did a few days before when they got smacked. Both teams looked really tired because they had just played on Wednesday. They were playing on Saturday.
Yes. And they had to travel from Texas.
Yeah, travel Texas to Los Angeles. Let's see. Yeah, Canada was missing. Canada should have scored in the first minute. And
they missed a lot of chances.
They missed so many chances. It was kind of crazy. And then Costa Rica almost had a smash and grab at the end.
And stoppage time of regulation.
It wasn't suffer ball.
It wasn't. They had movement. Canada had the bulk of the possession. Like, Costa Rica very much sat back for a decent amount of that game and defended well. But like we said, Canada didn't really put a lot of shots on target. I think they had,
no, like, they had 10
on target out of 39 shots. So, yeah. Like, that's not...
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
And one went in, right? Like, they missed some sitters. Obviously, listen, it's my 9. She's in midseason form.
Jordan Whitman
to the miss, but so did Lucas, so did Leon. Like, it, they spread the wealth. And they didn't play Olivia Smith. I don't know if she was on minutes restrictions. I'm not, or if there's a knock or whatever.
Excuse me, is Jordan Whitman?
That announcer was struggling this weekend. So they didn't have Smith available. Obviously, Prince has gone back to Kansas City for recovery. And she subbed in Rose. She made a few other subs. That back line is pretty much her standard back line. Canada does play a 3-4-3, which I find interesting, and Lawrence pushes way up sometimes. They had a lot of corner kicks, too. I feel like they took a lot of corner kicks that game. Kaylin Sheridan had one save to me, and it was a damn good one because that was absolutely going in. Just a really good game plan, and that was the moment for Costa Rica, and it was a better save. And they were exhausted, but I thought they played incredibly well. So definitely the best game they've played in a while, and they needed that. It's something to build on, I think. Okay. Second game of the night. Day, night, I guess, at that point, was Brazil and Argentina, one of the greatest rivalries in football. It wasn't much.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was over.
Of a rivalry. I think Argentina had a few good looks early, but it felt like Brazil was pretty much in control. From the start of that game, I believe they were 2-0 up by halftime, and the score ends up being 5-1. That chip by Argentina for that goal was very nice, though. That Brazilian keeper is a wee bit chaotic and aggressive. And considering who they play next, that might not go so well. But, I mean, Brazil put on a show. They didn't start everybody they could have started. I think today in the press conference, the Brazilian coach is basically saying he isn't starting the NWSL players outside of maybe Rafael, if he can help it, like to really rotate and help them, you know, play into shape, basically. So everyone's pretty rested. That's a fairly new Brazil team. The coach is new, obviously. Pia Sundhage was there through the World Cup. They definitely play a lot freer. There's just a lot of really good attacking talent on that pitch. They can get it from anywhere. Bia Zanarata had a brace. She's also very tall. She and Rafaeli, I think, were the two NWSL players that started. But yeah, just Brazil is Brazil. They have a really sound defense for the most part, with that caliber of player back there. It was a beat them down pretty much.
Yes, Brazil had 25 shots.
Yeah, that sounds about right. They could have. It could have been worse. Like it could have been worse. 7 or 8-1. So Brazil looks very formidable as they, of course, like Canada, prepping for the Olympics this summer. So that was Saturday, rainy Saturday night. And then we get to Sunday. We had our first game, Mexico-Paraguay, to start us off. And Sunday was the most attended day for the Gold Cup so far. Attendance was in five figures. I think for the Mexico match, it was like 12,000 and like 200 something. I think it was like 12,229 or something like that. And it was, 95% Mexico. It was loud. We had to sit there to get to the parking lot. Like it was packed. Mexico showed up and showed out, and their team showed up and showed out for them. Right now, the player of the tournament is Jackie Ovalle.
Yes.
And she scored yet another goal this tournament.
She scored two. Game.
Scored two this game that now puts her level with Adriana Leon from Canada at 5 for the Golden Boot race. Fun stat about Ovalle so far at this tournament. She's taken 12 shots. 7 of them have been on target. The other 5 have been goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Never mind the assists. I think she has 2 assists. Just absolutely playing out of her mind, and I think the world is very much learning about her. We told you so. But anyway, Mexico goes up 1-0 at the half, or are they up 2-0?
Oh, they were up 1.
Yeah, it's 1-0 into halftime. And then Luna gets the second goal. Beautiful header, well-worked goal. And then Mexico, I think, took their foot off the gas and decided to sit back on a 2-0 lead. Their coach said in the press conference he made subs that he probably should not have made, that it was on him and not the players. He bought in a lot of inexperienced players. He bought in Mayor, who hadn't played since the first match, I believe. And it got a little disjointed. Mexico gave up a penalty, which was then saved by Barreras. But Paraguay got a goal back. And then Jackie Ovalle, on a good run from Mayor, who missed the open chance, but it goes to Ovalle, who puts it away with certainty, puts Mexico up 3-1. Rebecca Fernandez gets one back to bring it 3-2. And it was a little panicky because there was a bad pass out of the back for Mexico. It definitely could have led to a third goal for Paraguay. But again, really good game from the keeper. That back line was able to collect itself, I think, survive its rockiest moments thus far this tournament. And advance to the semifinal. So that was Mexico-Paraguay, an incredibly fun game, a lot of go, a lot of shooting, a lot of trying things, a lot of vibes toward the end, but a really good game for a really good crowd. And then the final game, And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off about
Well,
Mexico.
You said everything. So, yeah, we got a fun game. USA played Colombia and won 3-0.
It was listed as a football match.
Yeah.
Football happened at some point. But this is some wrestling.
Yeah, Colombia came to play MMA. They had probably their worst. This was the second. Well, yeah, this was their worst tactical deployment and then game plan. And then on top of that, they were similar to how they lost to Brazil. They totally did not show up to play. So, because I've seen a lot of people go, oh, well, the problem is you got, well, the U.S. still deployed a lineup. I'll get to them in a second. Deployed a lineup that was like, are y'all trying to win or not? But the U.S. had, I mean, I guess Emma called them on Tuesday night and was like, well, Tuesday morning, and said, what was that? Don't do that again. So they showed up ready to go. But Colombia was ready to fight.
I'm just not sure with the talent they had why they thought going at the U.S. physically was the move. I mean, I guess in theory.
Because they saw what happened with Mexico.
They saw that, and they had played them in October to a 0-0 draw. And for 3 of the 4 halves they played them in October, they were definitely with them, if not better, right? And obviously everyone's goal, particularly with Mayra Ramirez not being on the squad, is to stop Linda Caicedo, who still got a few very good shots off and good looks. But, yeah, I just thought Colombia got it completely wrong. Like, I didn't understand. And maybe the U.S. 2-0 woke something up in them because it seemed to just spur them on and give them something to rally behind, particularly with the penalty early on and all of the shenanigans. There were so many shenanigans.
There was a lot of acting.
Especially in the first half. Oh, Oscar-worthy performances from Colombia. Like, just Oscar-worthy.
A lot of,
And Usme was in the middle of it, just like she was at the World Cup. I think I saw Chyna Matthews retweet that gif of Usme and Chantel Swigby, which she just pays her no mind. Yeah. It's always Usme. She always in the shit. She always in it. But I'll let you go since I talked too much for the last one.
I think the biggest thing, my concern for the U.S. is, yes, they played better. Like, they showed up. They had heart and stuff. However, they got away with things because Colombia's game plan was so bad that you saw it was a problem when Colombia, after Colombia went down 2-0 in the first half, they then woke up a little bit and were like, oh, no, let's not, let's actually play. And then they were actually pressuring the U.S. And honestly, it could have been 2-2. So, if Alyssa Nair doesn't save those two shots on goal that were very phenomenal. See, all y'all was hating on Alyssa. However,
she said, y'all been talking shit.
Y'all was talking shit. I had no issue with her playing. My only thing was, if this is a tournament where people are supposed to get experience, play younger people, or play other keepers, if Casey Murphy was in goal, that would have...
I don't know if it ends up with no goals. I don't
either. Yeah, even with Jane Campbell, that might not have. But still, Alyssa made 2 really good saves. But my bigger issue with the U.S. is, like, how they were positioned. They got away with a bunch of stuff because Colombia was so out of sorts. Things were off, like Linda Caicedo and a couple other players who were a little, they're not older, but they're more experienced, were like frustrated with their teammates who were totally, like, mentally not tapped in for the game. And so there's a bunch of stuff where Linda was open, but the ball didn't get to her. Or passes were off and so on and so forth. But we were doing stuff where I was like, let's say Colombia was on, right? And they weren't trying to fight. We would have been in trouble because we didn't have fullbacks at fullback. While we put Naomi German out there, finally...
God bless her.
And even Tiana Davidson had a really good game. You know, we put defenders. Yes. We still did not put Casey Kruger out there.
Yeah.
Or even midfield was better. But literally, like, we finally re-saw the reappearance of Olivia Moultrie. There was a lot of stuff that I'm like...
Later in the game, though. Like, yeah, she didn't play that long.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff where I was like, what are you trying to do, Twyla?
Yeah. It was really narrow.
Yeah, it's narrow. And it's like, why?
When we don't actually play through the middle.
Yeah. Because even when you look at that penalty, if Columbia just lets Alex just fall in the box, that's not a penalty, right? Mm. Nice Wonger, even though that is a nice goal, like, you have players just staring, that if they would have stepped to her, does that accident necessarily go? Now, the Jaden Shaw, Trinity Rodman situation, now...
That was just a damn good goal.
That was a good goal.
It was good defensive effort. I think Coffey gets the ball back there and starts that, which I thought she had a good game as well.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think she's very good. So, yeah, I thought that was just one of those hit counter goals. I know Morgan pulls the other center back, and then Shaw just has... She has the ability to know where to be and make those runs work off the ball. It's an her intelligence is just high level. And so is Trinity's. And I think Trin basically just looked up and said, okay, I know she's going to be there. And Shaw gets to it. I think she has to stretch for it a little bit. But gets to it. And that's just a great counter goal. Like, it's a great counter attacking goal. It's putting pressure on them. Columbia really struggled to play the ball at the back. Like,
yeah,
nervy. Nervy. And I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if the moment was just too big, which is wild because they were in the World Cup all the way to the quarters.
I actually think it's like a lot of youthful behavior.
Yeah.
It was like, because I mean, even with the Brazil game, they let the nonsense of the Comebol shenanigans get to them and take them out the game. So it's like, part of it is
and maybe that's a coaching conversation. Yeah. I don't know.
Because, I mean, I know they're playing with the younger players because, I mean, Columbia has their own beef with the Federation. They have.
Yeah, but they took a lot of those younger players to the World Cup.
But they're still...
To be fair, they also did this at the World Cup, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're still young. I mean,
yeah,
you need some veteran leadership.
Yeah, and this is probably the game where I'm like, yeah, they could have used Myra because she would have just helped the ball up.
Right.
Like, we would have been bad. Like, it would not have gone that way. If Maya Ramirez.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, it would have been a little brawler. Yeah.
I saw her play this weekend. Absolutely. No.
But yeah, shout out to the U.S. actually playing smash them out football.
Yeah, they fought back. Like, they got beat by Mexico, and they showed some fight. They literally, some of them showed some fight. Shout out to Trinity Rodman, that like all star. I can't believe somebody said, do you know where I'm from? And it's Diamond Bar. I can't. But, hey, it worked. as an American.
Yeah.
Most people on that team, if they said, do you know where I'm from? I'd be like, you can't. I can't do this. You come from money. No, I do. I do. But, yeah, honestly, they needed that. They seemed to feed off of that. It reminded me of the Netherlands game in the World Cup. They like a little adversity. Like, they seem to rally behind that. I thought the second half didn't look as great, but also they were on a 3-0 lead in the second half. So
it got narrow as hell.
Yeah, and trying to close it out. So I don't know how much of that is game plan versus, okay, you have a 3-0 lead. Let's see. I do not love the idea of us playing narrow when we don't play through the middle, though. Like, that's not... Our strength right now is out wide until we figure it out. Also, if a game is going to be crunchy in the semifinals, please don't bring in Rose LaBelle. The whole time, in a panic mode.
None of like, my players are playing through that mess.
The irony is she is not the one that got clattered, Sophia Smith is.
Yeah.
I was very concerned. She got back up. I was like, there's a whole lot of rub some dirt on it in this tournament that makes me a little But when it should be protocol. But it's probably the best half the U.S. has played. We pressed more. I know we talked about that last episode. So
good job. Look at us pressing. Yeah. Look at us growing up.
Yeah,
doing football basics. Well. Doing football basics.
Yeah, so they did a lot well. Again, particularly a good bounce back win. And so now we get the good old standard fare, U.S. versus Canada, as the late game and late for the East Coast on Wednesday. And the early game will be Mexico versus Brazil.
In a shootout.
Do you have any predictions?
So it's all going to depend on Brazil defensively. What are we doing back there with the goalkeeper? Because Mexico is going to shoot from any and everywhere. And if for Mexico, honestly, just doing what you're doing, don't overthink this shit and do new shit. Put out the right lineup and attack Brazil the whole game.
Yeah.
So I expect this to be very NWSL, Liga MX Femenil, late at night kind of match.
Okay.
It should be at 7 o'clock. It shouldn't be at 4. But whatever.
Yeah, it originally was the other way around, and they switched it, obviously, to put the U.S. last in the U.S. That makes sense. I am really scared to call this. It feels like a Mexico tournament, though.
Yes.
This feels like their coming out party. And their core, they're like, hey, we're coming for CONCACAF moment. So if they're going to do that, I think beating Brazil is a very good stepping stone. They don't have a great historical record against them. So I think they're playing with the most confidence in this tournament. So we'll see. But I'm here for either team winning. I'll watch either one of them play football. And then the good old Canada-US game. Who you got?
It depends on what Canada. I do not want to see Suffer Ball, Beverly. You got your name back to be Bev. Don't become Beverly. Play Olivia Smith. Play everybody who can attack. And then, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then Canada can actually score in a run of play. Canada doesn't CONCACAF its way to goals. That's going to be interesting against this U.S. that decides to willingly play narrow without any kind of logic. My only concern about the U.S. is if they do some stupid shit where they're like, ooh, see, we did that against Colombia. We can do this shit against Canada. Like, you could lose your game.
Oh, no, I don't think fighting that Canadian backline is
idea. Not fighting. No, I'm not talking about fighting. What I'm talking about is, like, from a starting lineup standpoint, what U.S. deployed against Colombia was terrible. But Colombia had a terrible game plan and was trying to fight. Where in Canada, if you did the same thing with Canada, I don't know how that works for you, though.
I think the lineup against Colombia was better than the lineup against Mexico.
Yeah, but I mean, but still.
But I also think the personnel you have is the personnel you have. Like, you can do some, you can change some things, but you can't change everything, right? Certainly not this tournament. Where we land on that is a different conversation, but we are where we are at this point. Canada hasn't conceded a goal this tournament. And outside of that one good chance for Costa Rica, I don't really remember them having to panic about conceding a goal. So they're really defensively sound. They're probably the best defensive team in the tournament. I think for them, it'll be very much about who starts up top. I'm really interested to see what Priestman comes up with. I'm kind of sure who we will. I think health matters there. But I think Shaw's in pen at this point. So it's who the other two are going to be. Trey Robbins played a lot of football. Yes. She's played a lot of football. You can play her, but she's played a lot of football. I'm super interested. I think our defense very much depends on who they put up top. I don't know. The CONCACAF person in me wants to see US-Mexico again. Because I think it's an interesting narrative. There's a redemption narrative there, which is really weird to say, but I also think Mexico beats the US twice. That's a real interesting conversation, real quick. So yeah, I'll say US-Mexico rematch.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah. Only because Brazil's been getting away with some shit that Mexico could cause them problems. But if you told me it was 10-8, 10-9, all
right,
not penalties, in extra time, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't foresee that many goals. But yeah, I think you could get like a 3-4 or 4. Like, you could get a high score line. I trust Mexico's keeper more,
yeah,
I think. So yeah, it'll be super interesting. But I think that's probably the more fun game. But we'll see. We'll see if we're correct.
Oh no, Canada might have found its NWSL ways.
Oh, Canada's perfectly capable of winning that game. I'm just making a prediction.
It would be hilarious if
I'm not secure in it at all.
It would be hilarious if, like, Canada were to actually score some bomb-ass goals. U.S. had to come do a complete reset. All hell would break loose if that happens. If Canada,
I mean, they have the players to
do that, it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If Canada does that, oh, the USSF ego will be at an all-time hit.
I think losing to Mexico and Canada would also be an interesting conversation. Like, I think there's a lot of interesting narratives around CONCACAF will look like for the next cycle.
Yeah.
And they, like, we gotta take care of home way. Home ain't guaranteed anymore. So, and I think that's true regardless, but yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but like I said, my predictions are very, I'm not sure about it. So, yeah.
All right, so on that note, this is a bonus episode. So, you'll hear interviews from who?
For Mexico, I believe we...
Automat. Canada.
Oh, Canada, we interviewed Jade Rose.
Costa Rica.
And for Costa Rica, well, they said Rocky Rodriguez. We didn't get interviews from the second game because it's very late night. Third match, Mexico-Paraguay, we got interviews with Palacios and Barreras, I believe.
Yes.
And then last for the United States, in order, I believe it is Gene Shaw, Trinity Rodman, and we ended with Naomi Girma. So they should all be coming up right after this.
Yep. Peace.
Hi, so we are Shea Butter FC, and we cover women's soccer with a focus on black and brown players in the game. So just a few questions for you. So first of all, congratulations on the win. Tough game. You were on that back line for the duration of that game. So what were you all seeing out there with Costa Rica versus what they were providing on Wednesday, or how they played on Wednesday?
You know, it's difficult when you play a game or play a team and then you have to turn around and play them again, because, you know, on the positive side, like, you get used to, you know, what they're showing you, but at the same time they get, you know, a taste and a feel for what we were showing them. I think that in the first game we saw that their wingers were popping out and stepping on our center backs a little bit more, and today they were holding a little bit, and I think that was a little bit unexpected. I think that they sat a little bit more on a block with a bite, which was, you know, definitely difficult to play against, as we saw. And I think just overall that block and that really compact defense was hard to break down.
All right. And for you, this is sort of a major tournament, right, as you grow into the national team. So what has it been like for you playing in the Gold Cup, which mirrors the Olympic tournament this summer?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of learnings that come with it. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just the recovery. I think that with such tight turnarounds and, you know, in the position that I play, I tend to play 90 minutes, and so then having to, you know, get straight into the ice bath and get into a norm attack and making sure that I'm taking care of my body so that, you know, in 2 or 3 days time that I can, you know, have a top performance again, I think is definitely something that I'm taking away from this tournament. I think also getting used to the style of play of CONCACAF teams. A lot of them tend to play in a block, very compact, which is not necessarily something that we see so much outside of CONCACAF. And I think that that is one of the most frustrating things that you can play against as a player. So I think definitely learning how to break down that block and, you know, arming ourselves with the right tools that we need moving forward into the Olympics.
All right. Well, thank you. And then what questions do you have? This is Kai.
Hi.
Sky. So, what are you listening to? As you know, this tournament's going. You got a good celebration song for this win tonight?
A good celebration song. We were listening to reggae in the locker room. Very chill vibes. I don't specifically have a celebration song. It's usually whatever the team plays.
So what are you listening to, I guess?
Pardon me?
What are you listening to, like, I guess, throughout the duration of this tournament? You got any playlists?
I have an Afrobeats playlist, which I love to listen to. So that, and then I'm part Jamaican, so like some reggae in there as well. I like that mix just because it does pump me up, but it's also, you know, like some songs are obviously slower, so it does relax me as well.
All right, and then last question. Just looking forward to the next game, semifinals. What was the, you know, I guess, vibes in the locker room, and how are you all refocusing on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think that the game happened, and I think that, like, giving ourselves, you know, a little bit of time to, like, feel the feelings that we're currently feeling, it was definitely frustrating, you know, having a lot of the ball during the game and getting a lot of shots off and some good opportunities that we didn't necessarily see turn into goals. I think that in itself is super frustrating, so giving ourselves that time to feel those feelings and then going to bed tonight and starting fresh tomorrow, taking what we can from this game and learning what we can through our review sessions, and then, you know what, just focusing on the team that we're going to face in the semifinals. So I think, like I said, just giving ourselves the time to feel those feelings, and then waking up in the morning and putting that behind us and looking forward to the semis.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
A few quick questions. Hi, we're here with Rocky Rodriguez. And so just a bit about what you saw, the difference between Wednesday and today, what you all saw and what you game planned for. Sorry, I know you're tired.
No, that's a great question. I think, you know, in a way, playing against Canada 2 days after playing against them again was a good thing for us. You know, which we know them from many other years too, but like playing against them so quickly back to back, I think was good for us. You know, we knew what they were going to do and they knew what we were going to do probably, but it gave us an opportunity to really tighten up the things that we could have done better. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough again, but I still am proud of what, like, I think that we got a little better, you know, even if it's not like all the way through, you know, we still got a little better, and that's all you can ask for. All
right. And what do you say to your team after a performance like this, even despite the result?
Yeah, I think it was important to mention the fact that we came along together. Like, we've been working as a team on team bonding. Like, I think that's one of the hardest things, especially in the beginning. I feel like we're in a construction period. We're in a generational change, and one World Cup just ended, so we're starting a new process, you know. So I just mentioned that to the team, how proud we were, and also the challenge that we have ahead. Each one of us has to be a leader in our club, you know, because when we come back to the national team, we need to come and you know, bring it with the national team, because we need everybody. So that was the main message.
Thank you. And one last question.
Yeah, one last question. So what do you, I guess, you got like any kind of inspirational song for your teammates and yourself going forward?
Inspirational song?
Yeah.
You know, lately, not one song. I try to pump myself up with reggaeton. But I tried this new thing. I recorded myself pumping myself up, and, you know, I like it. You know, I kind of wrote a script, and that's kind of how I set my mind for, you know, coming to the game, and then I'll play pump up music and just kind of get hyped.
All right.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
Alright, so we're here with Kiana Palacios, we're Shea Butter FC, so we cover women's soccer here. Just first of all, your thoughts on the game, the performance, what game plan were you all going in with?
Well, it was a game that we had the possession in the beginning for 60 minutes, and then after that we got a little bit too excited of the score and we let some errors slip by, but I think we got to fix those errors for the next game because Brazil is definitely a team that's going to be very technical and they're going to finish their chances, so we got to fix all those errors for that game.
And obviously this game was pretty chippy is a good way to put that. What did you all sort of learn playing through those rough 90 minutes out there?
I know, it was a pretty aggressive team, but we have to keep our cool. We have to be calm and collective at all times because if not, they will take advantage of those situations. But I think the team definitely did that. We were all on the same page and we all executed the chances that we had.
And what do you think has changed for you all this tournament? Obviously, Mexico's had, I think, what people have considered some disappointing performances and have seemed to turn a corner for this tournament.
Yeah.
What do you all attribute that to?
Well, I think we're just very motivated. I think we're all on the same page and we all want to win every single game, and that will take us hopefully to the final and hopefully winning the final. But I think just being united and just playing together is what is helping us out.
And just a few more. Can you speak a little bit about how Liga MECIFEM has prepared this team for this type of stage?
Well, I think the Liga MX has grown so much. We definitely see that majority of the players are from there, and so it's very competitive. It's growing. A lot of people from like foreigners are coming to the Liga MX because it is growing rapidly, and it's just exciting to see.
All right, and then you want to ask a fun question?
Yeah. One fun question. So, what are you listening to for the celebration of what y'all been doing through this tournament?
What am I listening to? What?
The music that you like.
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of corridos. You know what corridos are? Yeah, or Drake too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we like that. Well, I think I will let people.
Your coach was saying before the tournament, they said, if somebody said you'd get to this point, you'd been happy, but now you're not happy.
Yeah.
Right? You guys all feel that same?
Yes, I think we're definitely happy. I think we've worked so hard for this moment, but it's not the end yet, so we still got to keep going. We still got to keep pushing through and playing how we've been playing.
So thank you. Thank you, Kiana.
There we go.
Hello, we are here with Shea Butter FC, and we are here with the goalkeeper of the hour, Stefania Barrera. So first of all, congratulations on
the
win. What were you seeing out there today to make some of the saves that you made, particularly on that PK save?
Well, like I was saying, I felt like you got to control kind of like every instant of the game, not only just the PK. I felt like Paraguay did their game. They did a really good job. And I felt like you just had to be focused the whole time.
Okay. And what were you all seeing out there, particularly in the second half when it got a little bit dodgy? Mm-hmm. What were you all saying to each other to sort of calm yourselves down?
Just kind of kept on working on what we had planned. I think that, yeah, they came and pressured us. But I also felt like it's kind of trusting one another, to trust that the defense will do their job and the people up top as well as us. And I felt like it worked out in the end.
Yeah, so obviously this has been a turning point for Mexico in tournament play. And just talking a little bit about what has Liga MECIFEM meant to the development of the Mexican national team and how you all are playing right now?
I think, like I was saying, is that it has helped because I felt like before, people would come from their clubs or whoever was playing. And I felt like now that there's a league, you're constantly playing. So I feel like you're in rhythm. So you don't get to camp and that's where your training starts per se. Now I feel like you just get there and you get right to work.
Okay. And then fun questions.
Yeah, so what are you listening to that got you hype during this run through the tournament? What are you listening to that's got you hype during this run through the tournament, like musical?
As a music, I listen to Drake, I listen to reggaeton, some love songs too, a little bit of everything.
Playing in the locker room?
Ooh, they were playing corridos today.
Corridos, okay. Sounds like we gotta put that on our playlist.
Yeah. Meliconas.
Alright, shout out. Thank you so much for talking about. Hi, Jaden. Sorry, we won't keep you very long. Congratulations first on the win. So first question, what has playing in two physical games, right, the Argentina game, not quite as physical, but what has playing in these heightened sort of physical games taught you as you acclimate to the national team?
Honestly, I think for me, it's just like sticking to our game plan and just like making sure like I know my role. I think for me, it wasn't too much about me and my movement. It was maybe sometimes like opening up someone else. So I think that's like a little bit of a change for me coming from maybe like youth club level where you're like the girl that everybody relies on. Whereas like now it's like everybody is good and everybody can be relied on and, you know, we can all do that job.
And obviously you scored a goal, had a few really good chances. What are you seeing out there? What are opponents giving you in terms of like space and the ability to score or get chances on goal?
I think especially in games like this, you got to kind of find your own opportunities. And I feel like some of my opportunities came from just like, you know, like us scrapping it out in the box or like, you know, just winning maybe not the first tackle, not the second, but the third one, just like staying in it as a team. And ultimately that gets us opportunities on goal.
And what did you see on the goal and the assist from Trinity?
Trent had a whole lot of space and Alex took the other center back away. So I had a 1v1 in the box and I just took care of business.
All right, and then last question. What's your current hype song?
My current hype song?
Yeah.
Bandit by Don Toliver.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Jake.
Everybody.
Aaron, thank you.
Hi, Trinity, Shea Butter FC. Just a few questions. So one, our followers want to know your reaction to this moment. You've become very famous very fast off of that moment.
Obviously, you could probably read my lips on that one. Yeah, I think for us, it's keeping our head. And I am a person who's going to have our team's back and it's going to feed into that momentum. And I think starting off the game really hot, coming at Alex, I think was tough for me just because when you see your teammate in the middle of six other players, I think it's triggering. And we are a team that's going to back each other. And obviously that was a chippy game and I don't regret that. I think that's the intensity that comes with the game. But at the end of the day, it's all about controlling it and not getting that red card. So obviously I came out at halftime, but for me, I think you always have to back your teammates and you have to show the other team that you're not going to back down and you're going to keep pushing and keep pushing to get a goal.
And what did you see on that assist to Jaden?
Yeah, I think that's something that we've been trying to exploit. I think we're really good getting in behind and having those easy goals per se, but yeah, Foxy saw it. I rounded my run and an early ball is always good because we've got great forwards that can get on the end of it. So that's, I was just kind of putting it behind the back line.
And what was the celebration song in the locker room, if there was one?
I don't know, it's pretty chaotic when we get in the locker room. Everybody's getting in at different times, so it's just it's good vibes, no specific song.
Alright, thank you, Trent. Appreciate you. Naomi, what does playing in a game this physical do for the team? What do you sort of say as one of the leaders to get your team through it?
I think we expect it, first of all. We match it and we just try to stay in control as much as we can. Try to take quick touches on the ball, move the ball so the ball is not a play as much and we can get our rhythm and just try to keep the emotions in check in a game that is a battle and has a lot of aggressiveness and fouls.
And I do have a kind of U.S. national team question, kind of not. One of your good friends played her first game in almost 2 years today. Were you able to see her score and
yes.
What was your reaction?
We were actually watching. We had activation this morning and everyone goes, oh my god, Kat scored. So we were all watching. I'm so happy for her. It's been a long journey back, but she's one of my good friends and she deserves it and she's been working so hard, so I'm just so happy for Kat.
You've been able to send her a message yet?
Yeah, I texted her and I was like, oh my god, you did it. I think, I don't know, I'm just so happy for her. She hasn't responded to me yet though, so Kat, she's the worst on her phone.
Oh, okay, Kat, thanks man.
Final question for me, what does playing in a national team mean to you?
It means a lot to me. It's been a long journey to get here, and my parents have sacrificed a lot in my life and their lives to put me in this position. So I think to be here now playing for them and playing for my community just means a lot to me, and I'm just so grateful.
Thank you.